Let's open with a word of prayer. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you had a wonderful holiday with your families. And your handout is really struggling today. That's because finally about 4 o'clock, when everybody left, I sat down to do our Sunday school lesson. I kept thinking, I've got to do my Sunday school lesson. And I was sitting on the couch, and I just kind of started going. So I got up really early, but so the result was our handout is really struggling. But y'all are so precious. I don't know if you can do without a handout. You know, it's just, they're unwritten law. You have to have that handout. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come this morning with hearts just full of adoration and joy and worship. We thank you for this season. We thank you for Jesus. It's such a miraculous event, and I want us to just relish it together. And I pray this morning that you would take this lesson and use it in our lives to help us join in the worship of all of the heavens. And so, Father, give us attentive hearts this morning. I pray for every family represented. We enter this room. There are burdens on our heart. And God knows every one of our burdens. He knows where we are. He knows where those that we love are. And we can trust him. And so this morning, our eyes are on you, because we know that one of the wisest things we can do is to be women of your word, to let your word come in our hearts and build our faith so that we might be strong women who trust you in every circumstance, every day of our life. And so speak to us this morning. Meet with us as we open up your beautiful word of life. I pray your blessing on every family. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name this morning. Amen. Well, today I'm going to begin just a very short little series that I've had in my heart that I wanted us to do. And we're going to go today to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12, and I'm just going to sort of introduce it to you this morning, because I need to give you some background information. And we're going to be looking at the biblical story of the visit of the wise men to the birth of Jesus as they come to Bethlehem. It's only recorded here in Matthew. Now, there are all kinds of legends about the wise men. Catholicism has even found their skulls, and they are relics in a church. They say they know their names, that there were three of them. All of that is sort of mythical. It's not real. All we know about the wise men, And actually, their name is Magi. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But all we know about them is what we see here in Matthew chapter 12. And so we're going to pull out some things today that I think are fascinating. And we're not going to be able to cover it all, but you're going to have to come back next week. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you in advance. Don't miss next week, because today's just a little teaser that you come back next week. Let's just read their story as we come to it this morning and get it in our minds. Be very attentive. Look for details as I read you this story. Let's start in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, He, Herod, inquired of them where the Messiah, the king, was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, now I'm quoting the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they, the Magi, went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now, we don't know their names. We really don't know how many there were. It's just assumed that there were three because how many gifts were given? Three. I just think these guys are so fascinating, and I want us to go deeper. I love the Bible. I love studying the Bible. You cannot exhaust the Bible. And the Bible perfectly upholds history. And I think when you put history and the Bible together, it just thrills your heart when you see how it all fits. And when you see how God is moving many centuries before Jesus is ever born. Now, who are these guys and how do they know about a king that is coming to the land of Israel? How do they know about a promised Messiah and why have they come so far? Careful Bible students believe that they were members of an Eastern priestly group who were descendants of an ancient tribe of people called the Medes. Have you heard of that people group, the Medes? Do you remember the Medes and the Persians? They kind of went together. Now, we find them in the book of Daniel. And we've studied Daniel in here before. And in the book of Daniel, the book opens up, King Nebuchadnezzar is ruling in Babylon. He's just taken Israel into captivity. Israel had gone into terrible idolatry, and God judged Israel. God used the empire of Babylon to conquer Israel. And all of their people were brought into captivity, and they lived in the land of Babylon. Now, there were several deportations, but in the very first deportation, Nebuchadnezzar went into Israel, and he took all the princes of the land, all of the young men, all of the strong, bright, promising men. He brought them into his own palace, and he taught them what was known as the way of the Chaldeans. He brainwashed them. We know of four of these men, these young men, these handsome, young, strong men. They were Daniel, and then we know the other three as who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That wasn't their Hebrew name. That was the name that was given to them by Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel's name was changed too. He became Belshazzar. Except we know these four guys would not bow and would not bend. And God gave them favor. And they were brought into a group of people, a very special group of people, because they were so bright and so sharp. And they became part of this group that were political advisors to Nebuchadnezzar. That group was made up of a lot of people. The satraps was one group, the Chaldeans was another group, and there was another group called the Magi. Not long after Daniel was there, Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream. And he dreamed and he saw a huge statue. It had the head of gold. It had a chest and arms of silver. It had a belly and thigh made of bronze. And it had legs made of iron. And the feet were made of a mixture of iron and clay. It was a very troubling dream. And so he announced to all the wise men in his palace, here's what you're going to have to do. Come tell me my dream and tell me its meaning. I'm not going to tell you what the dream was. You're going to have to tell me what the dream was. And if you don't, I'm going to make your homes like public bathrooms, is basically what he told them. And I'm going to kill you all and your families. And so all of the wise men, they were very powerful men, as you're going to see in a minute. No one could do that. No one. And so the chief of these men was going to have to kill them. And kings in that day had the power to do that. And so Daniel sets himself aside and seeks God. And God gives him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Now, here was the dream. Your figure represents four empires from your time to the time of the very end of time. What we have there, ladies, is a snapshot of history. You know what? We can know what is to come. God always lets his people know what's coming. I think that's so cool. And so here's what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. This is what your dream was. The head was gold. And Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. Babylon is the golden empire. There's no one like you, Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, I think Nebuchadnezzar eventually got saved, and we can't go into that, but it's a fascinating story. After the Babylonian Empire came what was known as the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians. Now, we're going to be talking about the Medes today when we're talking about these wise men, these magi. They were the kingdom of silver. And then after the Medes came Greece. You remember the name Alexander the Great in history? He conquered the known world. And then he cried because there was nothing left for him to conquer. And he died, and he went out in a blaze of glory when he was like 33, 34, 35, somewhere in that range. And then after him came Rome. They were the legs of iron. Now, Rome is where Jesus intersects into history. He comes into history under the Roman Empire. And then after the Roman Empire, look at me, there's one more empire to come. And it's the feet of iron and clay. Now let me tell you what that is. It's a weakened Roman Empire. See, the Roman Empire has never really gone away. It's Europe. But it's weakened. It's not as strong as it was in the day of the Caesars and the Herods and the day that Jesus was born. But at the end of time, they're going to come together, and it's going to be strong in some sense, that's the iron, but it's going to be weak and brittle in other sense, and that's the clay. It's a kingdom that will be mixed with iron and clay. Now, here's the part of the dream I didn't tell you. Nebuchadnezzar sees this huge statue, gold, silver, bronze, iron, iron and clay feet. And suddenly there is a stone that is formed. He's watching it in the dream, and it's formed without human hands. It is a supernatural stone. And that stone comes and hits the statue at the feet, and the whole statue turns into like dust and disappears. And then that stone becomes a mountain that fills the earth. Guess who that stone is? Do you know? It's the stone that's formed without human hands. It's supernatural. Who would that stone be? You know. Say it. It's Jesus. And his kingdom is going to destroy all the other kingdoms and will one day fill the earth. He will rule on the earth. Ladies, that was a picture of history. Now let's go back to our lesson. You see, careful Bible students believe that these magi were members of an Eastern priestly group who were the descendants of the Medes. Now, we find in the book of Daniel this interesting dream, and let's talk about this ancient people group called the Medes. Because, as a matter of fact, they go all the way back to Abraham, who was living in the Ur of the Chaldees when God called him to leave his home and leave his country and go to a place that God was going to show him. You find him there, and that takes us back all the way back to Genesis, the first chapters of Genesis, like 11 and 12. And when we come to the birth of Christ, which is happening now in that fourth world empire, the legs of iron, we find here they are. This people group is still in existence. Now go back to verse 1. It says there, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Bethlehem. Now your version may say wise men, but that's really not the best translation. Let's pull out that word magi, because that word is actually untranslatable. It's a word that is actually a name. It's a name of a certain tribe of people. Now, the Magi were a priestly tribe of people from this very ancient, large people group known as the Medes. Now, think of it this way with me. You know that the nation of Israel, right? Think of the whole nation of Israel, is made up of how many tribes? Good. 12. And one of those tribes is the priestly tribe. What is the name of the priestly tribe? Levi. Okay. Now, they were the ones who would minister the rituals and the religious ceremonies of the temple on behalf of the nation of Israel. The Medes were set up in a very similar way. And they also, within their big, large people group, had one tribe that was their priestly tribe. Israel had the tribe of Levi, and the Medes had the tribe of Magi. Now, like Israel, their tribe, their religious priestly tribe, was also a hereditary priesthood. You're going to find real similar parallels between the Medes and Israel. The difference between them was this. Israel was under the one true living God, Jehovah, and they followed God's law, their Torah, and the prophets. But the Medes were a pagan people. The Medes were a cult. The Medes did not worship the one true living God, even though they recognized there's one God. their God was different than Yahweh. Now here's what their God, let me describe their God. The principal element of their worship seems to have been fire, and so they reverenced and they worshiped fire. And they had this God of fire, and in connection with their belief, they had an altar which burned with perpetual flame. And they believed that their fire God came down and lit that fire, and they had an altar where the fire never went out. And they thought, our God came down, started this fire. And then right next to their perpetual flame of fire, they had another altar where they offered blood sacrifices. You see the parallel, don't you? They also believed, like Israel did, that there were clean animals and unclean animals. They carried with them in their robes divining rods. Have you ever heard of divining rods? They are used in the occult. It was a totally counterfeit religion. But they were brilliant. The Magi were brilliant. They were very skilled in astronomy. That was their science. But they also were very superstitious, and they also practiced all kinds of astrology. They practiced divination with their rods. This was very much of the occult. But I'll tell you something interesting about the priests in the tribe of Levi. They had these stones on their breastplate, and these stones were very mysterious. You know, God designed their clothing that the Levites would wear. And they had these jewels, and they were called the Urim and the Thurim. And somehow God would communicate through the Urim and the Thurim. And I don't know exactly how that worked. But they would discern what God wanted them to do, the priests would, with the Urim and the Thurim. Isn't that interesting? I've never been able to really get to the bottom of what that was all about. And so we see they kind of had that similar thing with their sorcery. And they would use their divining rods. And it was very, very much dark and of the occult. I'll tell you this about Satan. He counterfeits religion. He can make it look so good, so inviting, and then he puts all kinds of little false things in there. And it's easy for us to get sucked in. And so we have this word magi. Now, over the years, this word magi has become corrupted. Guess what words we use? What do you hear? Magician, magic, right? And they're really just synonyms for what the Bible calls a sorcerer. So, this group of people were an Eastern group. They were in the Orient. And they rose to a place of prominence, especially during the Babylonian government there, the same time Daniel was there. And also during the next empire which followed, which was the Medo-Persian government, which came next, they were the breast and the arms of silver. They became advisors to royalty in the East. They were consulted about all kinds of things. And they exalted their craft of wisdom and political advice. And they were so powerful that historians tell us that no person was ever able to become a king unless two conditions were met. Number one, he had to master the scientific and religious discipline of the Magi. And he had to be approved of, and he had to be crowned by the Magi. Now that's power. And so the wisdom of the Magi had a name to it. It was called the Law of the Medes and the Persians. And you see that phrase in Esther 1:19, you see that phrase in Daniel 6 several times. It was the Law of the Medes and the Persians. And it was a scientific religious discipline of the Magi. And their wisdom was required for anyone who was to be a king in Persia. They also appointed judges. I just want you to get the feel. These were powerful men. They had great influence in the empire of the Orient. And they intersected with God's people, the nation of Israel, during that season when Daniel was in captivity. And there they were ruling together, the Magi, Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach. And so they were intersecting in the house, in the palace. Now, all of this is recorded in Daniel, so you need to read it next week. It's so interesting. So these Oriental kings elevated the Magi. They were the official advisors. They were powerful. And when Babylon fell, they just kept right on ruling in their place. They were known for the ability to interpret dreams. And so Daniel is pulled into this group. Now you've got to remember, Daniel comes into Nebuchadnezzar's palace when he's a teenager. And he doesn't check out until he is an old, old man. Now, here's the thing. God said, just go to Babylon, settle down. I'm going to judge you for 70 years. You're going to be there for 70 years. So Daniel was a totally devoted man of God. He was so devoted. The stories are amazing, but he even ends up at the end of his life because of jealousy in a lion's den. And by that time, he's very, very old. Here's the sad truth about this captivity. At the very end of the book, Daniel begins to pray, Lord, it's been 70 years, and it's time for them to go back. And there's a decree given by Cyrus that they can go back. But sadly, the majority of the Israelites did not want to leave Babylon. You know why? They had become Babylonized. They had gotten comfortable. They had gotten their jobs. Their children had intermarried with Babylon people. And they just didn't want to leave. And they stayed right there in the Medo-Persian Empire. So what I'm trying to show you is that there was a time when a group of these magi were thrown with a very godly man named Daniel who knew his God. And I'm sure as he came into power, he had a copy of the Word of God. He was mighty. He was devout. He was blessed. He was given favor. He had authority. He was given amazing insight. I want you to listen to what is said about him in Daniel 5. It's not on your handout, but just listen as I read about it. Daniel 5, 11 through 13. This is what was said of him. There is a man in thy kingdom, speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, chief of the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this man, Daniel. You see, he was a real standout. He had power beyond their occultic power. And I'm sure during this time, as Daniel came representing the one true God, and most assuredly bringing God's word with him, he greatly influenced many of the Magi. Many of the Magi noticed him. They respected him. They were in awe of him. And some, not all of them, but some of them surely came to believe honestly in their hearts that the God of Daniel was the true and living God, and that the word of God that Daniel had possession of was also the word of the living God. You see, that word that Daniel brought in contained many prophecies concerning this coming Messiah, this coming King, this one who is going to come back, and as Genesis 3:15 tells us, he was going to wound and put the serpent completely under his authority. And I'm sure that Daniel shared all of this with a certain group of the Magi. Now here's what happened. This is hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus is born. But you know what? They carefully, because they were men of great knowledge, they carefully recorded everything. And they passed down what they learned from Daniel to their children who were in line in that hereditary priesthood. And those children passed the information down to their children. And it went down from generation to generation to generation. And now we come to Matthew chapter 2. And Jesus has been born. And there are a group of Magi who are living in the Orient. And they see a star. We're going to talk about that star. It's a very interesting star. And they know that star represents the fact that Messiah has been born. And what do? They immediately pack up to leave. Now, by the way, they didn't come on camels. They came on Persian steeds. And they probably came with a great company, a great army. And as they entered into Jerusalem, there was quite a stir when they came in. Oh, and this is something interesting I learned about them. They wore cone hats. And do any of y'all remember Saturday Night Live, the cone heads? That dates me. But anyway, in my mind, I see the cone heads. But they came in and they caused quite a great stir. They're men who had great power. They were so powerful, they were called king makers. And so as time went on, century by century, they come now to where we are in Matthew 2. Go back to Matthew 2. And so Jesus is born, and here come these mysterious Magi looking for the one who has been born King of the Jews. How did they know? How did they know? Well, it says we saw a star. That's how we knew. And we've come to do what? To worship him. They were looking for King Messiah, the King of the Jews, just as Daniel had taught them. Look at verse 3. It tells us that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, all Jerusalem with him. They were really rattled. This lets us know that even at the time of Christ, the Magi were very powerful people. Now you've got to understand, here's the east and here's the west. The west is the Roman Empire. The east is known as the Parthian Empire. And right on the edge of Roman Empire is this little nation of Israel. And there's this little king named Herod who's over the little nation of Israel. We're going to talk about him. Oh, he's something. You're not going to believe it. And then there's this vast desert between the Eastern Empire and the Western Empire. Of Rome. And guess what? He's thinking, wait, there's a king, we're here, they're going to come, there's going to be a war, there's all kinds of things that are going on. Now, in the Eastern Empire, think Eastern Empire with me, there was this ruling body called the Megasthenes. And here's the deal. That group was totally composed of Magi. And it was their duty to pick a king. They were the king makers. And so when they arrived in Jerusalem, you know, Herod knew exactly who they were. And they're wandering around saying, where is the king of the Jews? Well, guess what Herod called himself? He called himself the king of the Jews. And that was very threatening to him, and it put him in a panic. And here they came in full force. And so when they arrived, it caused him to be totally scared out of his wits. We've seen his star, this supernatural star. Why did that come? Was it political? Probably. Somewhat political. But I really believe it was mostly spiritual, because the Bible says that when they found him, what did they do? They worshiped him. They saw more than just a king. I think they saw the very fulfillment of the promised one that Daniel had told them about. I think what we have here is a group of magi who are God-fearing, seeking Gentiles. And you know, when God looks at the world, he sees the Gentiles, he sees the Jews. That's just two people groups. What group are we in? We're in the Gentiles. I think it's so fascinating that the very first people in the world to recognize the arrival of a king, the king, they were Gentiles. It wasn't the nation of Israel. They should have been the ones looking for him. They didn't even bother. Listen. After Herod asked the leaders, where is he to be? These guys are here saying, we've come to see him. Where is he? And then they say, well, according to our scriptures, he's in Bethlehem. They don't even bother to go and see for themselves. They don't have time. But here are these Gentile magi, the king makers, who are apart from the covenants of God. They are the ones seeking to acknowledge him. And that makes perfect sense for the gospel of Matthew. And I told you, it's the only gospel that gives us this information. Because Matthew's presentation of the gospel is all about the royalty of Jesus, coming as the king in the lineage of David. And here we find that he is king by virtue of the fact that those in the world at the time he was born, who were the official kingmakers, come to him and recognize him as Messiah. And it says they worshiped him. They gave him royal honor. And this is just reinforcing the fact that Jesus is actually King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the others in that place, the leaders of Israel, they did not hail him as king. They did not seek him. They didn't even care about him. They never even bothered to go to Bethlehem to see him. Instead, God sends strangers from a distant land. I just love the Bible. I think the Magi kind of represent the first fruits of the Gentile nations. And they show us that God has always had a heart for the Gentiles. And that makes me feel so good. Because we is Gentiles, right? Now there's so much more to see out of these verses. And today I just wanted to introduce it to you. I wanted to give you some background information on the history of this people group called the Magi. And next week we're going to take the verses apart. I want to tell you about that star. I have some interesting information on it. And I want to tell you some really interesting information about Herod. And it's going to all cause us to worship God and to have our faith increased. And I think it's going to be captivating. And I hope you'll come back. Let's pray again. Our Father, we want to be like the Magi. We don't want to be like the religious leaders of the day. They were so wrapped up in themselves and what they were doing in their own world and their busyness of life. They didn't even have time to go see their very own Messiah that was there in their very midst. And yet these magi, these Gentiles, these pagans come for weeks to find him in order that they might worship him, that they might honor him, that they might revere him and give him what was due his name. And Father, we want to be like the Magi this morning. I thank you for how you move through history. And when we look at it and we put it all on the table, it makes us have wonder at your holy word. I thank you for Daniel and his life and the way he communicated his faith and how it was passed down through the years and how that information had been guarded, and just at the right time you revealed to them Messiah was here. And we stand in awe of what you do through history. Father, help us to put aside our busyness and worship Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.